Inasmuch as I've spoken to you all before concerning prayer, I was not looking at it from the standpoint of the effectiveness of prayer, but rather the limitations of prayer. I had a lesson recently dealing with the sinner's prayer, so-called, and we compared that to biblical obedience and the difference between somebody who prays who's not a Christian as opposed to somebody who prays who is a Christian. There is a big difference. However, what I want us to do today is instead to look at prayer in the sense of its effectiveness, that is, what it is actually good for. Sometimes we get a bad attitude by looking at things only from the standpoint of, well, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, but what does work? A great example is given unto us in James chapter 5. So let's think about that for just a moment. In James chapter 5, the great example of Elijah is demonstrated to us. He was a man that wanted to get the Israelites shaken up so they could understand the greatness of God, the importance of being in obedience unto God. And the people were not going to be shaken so easily. So Elijah went through a time where he told them, it's just not going to rain. Why would it not rain? In response to his prayer. Now you think about how powerful that is. If we go for a month or two without rain, people get to praying earnestly that it might rain around here. How would you like it if you went 3.5 years without rain? Listen now to James chapter 5 and verse 17. You can go back to the Old Testament and read on this, but this kind of summarizes it. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was a regular guy. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So at least up there in the northern nation of Israel, when Elijah said that it's not going to rain, it just didn't rain. That's amazing, isn't it? It's not going to happen again until I say so, he said. Wow. Think of the great power involved in such a prayer. He prayed again, it says in verse 18. This is James 5, verse 18. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I want us to notice several things concerning the prayer of Elijah and some things with respect to the answer of God to prayer. People put restrictions on God, and this happens to people who are both Christians and non-Christians. It happens to people who say that they, oh, I've been a member of the church for no telling how long, and those who never have had anything to do. Likewise, many of them have misunderstandings about prayer, no matter whether you've known the Lord for a long time or whether you've never known God. Prayer is not restricted in a way that a lot of people think. Now, if someone thinks that in response to prayer, God's going to do something that he said he was not going to do, then you're fooling yourself. There is a restriction there. Someone can pray that the moon turn into green cheese. Obviously, God isn't concerned about the moon turning into green cheese, so that doesn't mean that's going to happen. There's no purpose behind it. Why would you pray for such a thing? You don't look at the things done in the Bible in response unto prayer. They weren't done for frivolous reasons. The Israelites were going through a very serious time in which they had taken the blessings of God for granted, and those blessings need to be taken away from them so that they could appreciate them and understand that it's not until there is a prayer from a righteous man that they were going to get their rain. So there was a purpose behind it. If you don't have a purpose behind it, if you don't pray in keeping with the will of Jesus Christ, whatsoever things we ask in Jesus' name, it has to be by his authority, through him. Then only then do you receive the blessing. But let's look at what prayer can accomplish then. Prayer is not restricted. If someone looks at the prayer of Elijah, Elijah didn't pray that God would make a miracle happen and the rain come back. You say, well, it was a miracle. I'm not saying that God wasn't behind it, but it wasn't a miracle in the traditional sense of what you're thinking. If you go back to the Old Testament story, Elijah prays, and then he has them look out and see, well, what's going on out to the west. Well, they say that there's a little cloud out there. And then the cloud comes in, and then it begins to rain. Well, how does a storm normally come in? In the northern hemisphere, our weather travels from the west unto the east. Normally, that's how you would see a storm come in. The storm itself doesn't have to be miraculous, so to speak. It can be in keeping with the way God normally works on the earth. The storm itself doesn't have to arrive in a miraculous way. That is, the skies are blue sky, clear, and then boom, the next second, everything just opens up and it's raining. The Bible doesn't say that. It just moved in like a regular west to east rain. So when you look at Elijah's prayer and the response to that prayer, there's no doubt God's doing it, and the prayer doesn't come, or the rain doesn't come until the prayer occurs. So it's definitely in response to prayer, and yet God doesn't have to use an overt miracle as we would think of miracles in order to accomplish it. This proves God can do whatever God wants to do. It's just that he doesn't have to give you some specific miraculous gift through the laying on of the hands of the apostles. Since they're all gone, that can't happen. He doesn't have to do that in order to listen to and answer prayer. He can answer that prayer in any way he likes, can't he? So if God is doing something, a person says, oh, well, God doesn't do that kind of thing anymore. Really? He doesn't do that kind of thing anymore? Come on. What are you talking about? You're restricting God. He can do whatever he wants. Does the Lord rule in the kingdom of men or not? It's like people haven't read the book of Daniel. It's like the God that you read about in the Old Testament somehow died or retired, and you know that didn't happen. Such a blasphemous thought. The Lord God of heaven still superintends the universe and looks over his children. If God wants something to happen, then not only is it going to happen, but it'll happen in response to the prayer of his children. Now, if you don't believe that, then that itself is a hindrance to your prayers. That's why your prayers are not answered in the way that they should be. Let's go back to the text here in James. Let's look what he said just before he gave the illustration. He said in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So prayer accomplishes, first of all, a good spiritual objective, and we'll come back to that in a second. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So the example he gives is of the physical response to prayer that Elijah gave in the Old Testament example, but in the context he's talking about the spiritual response, those things that he needs or that all of us need for our souls, and he also points out that this is something that prayer helps. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you are on the Lord's side and you're praying in keeping with Jesus Christ, then God does answer your prayer. If you're praying in keeping with the Lord's aims, the Lord's will, then the answer is going to be yes. And you're going to receive those things that you have petitioned of him, whatsoever it is that you ask. This is a powerful thing. Oh, but a person says, how can I know whether or not it's a good thing that I'm praying for? Well, I will grant you that sometimes that's kind of difficult. Things that we look at as a good thing are not necessarily good for us. Let me give you a classic example, folks. If you were to pray to God and you say, Lord, I could do so much for the church. I could help so many people who are poor. I could do this. I could do so many different things if I just had the money to do it. Well, if you pray then that you might have the resources to do so, that's not necessarily how you can end up helping them best, number one. And number two, if you receive things of this life, it could be that that becomes a snare unto you. You may not know that. Your prayer is completely sincere. Your prayer is in faith. Your prayer is made just as powerfully as you possibly could. But God doesn't give you those things and you say, why not? I only meant to do good with those things. And it could be that the Lord, since he knows better than you, knows that you can accomplish those things without money or without different possessions. It could be that the Lord knows you can accomplish those things in a way that doesn't tempt you. Because if you're asking for them, that may indicate you have a little weakness along that line. And therefore, God decides he's going to bless you in a different way. So it's not always the case that just because somebody is God's child and they are sincere that they're praying, that they're praying for something that is the best for them. Only God knows that. However, that doesn't mean that the Lord won't give somebody an equivalent or even better blessing, now does it? So the prayer is not wasted. But if the person has full confidence in prayer that when I prayed and I didn't get that specific thing, that God is going to answer me in a way that is best and in keeping with his will, then that prayer still has been effective, hasn't it? Furthermore, as I pointed out before, the prayer is most effective, and first of all, when it comes to a spiritual case. Somebody is having a problem in life. Difficulty with sin. Confess your faults one to another. James wasn't saying this to people who were outside of Christ. He's talking to Christians here. As I pointed out in a previous lesson, we're not dealing with the sinner's prayer here. All blessings are in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Confess your faults one to another is done something among Christians. where you say, look, I need a partner to pray with here. I need somebody to help me with this case. I want you to pray that I overcome this kind of temptation that I have and that the Lord will be on my side and he'll help me. God says, that's what I'm talking about. You pray for one another in that sense, so that other Christian person prays for you on your behalf, and you overcome that sin, you overcome that difficulty in life, and you're made a better person because of it. God blesses that person's prayer for you in a spiritual sense and strengthens you. How does he do that? Well, he can do it in any way he wants, can't he? God can cause us to be strengthened in ways beyond my understanding through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, as the Bible talks about. God can cause us to be strengthened by putting you in situations or circumstances whereby we are exposed to his word and thereby get it inside of our heart. We memorize it, we know it better, and therefore we're able to be blessed that way. The great spiritual and, yes, sometimes even physical benefits of prayer are absolutely amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. Thank God for it. And if there's any help that we can give you with respect to your own prayer life at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, just contact us. We'd love to have you come and see us at any of our worship services. Thank you so much for listening this afternoon.